in my diary for today it says Trinity Sunday. So I looked up my dictionary for the word Trinity. It said Trinity Sunday, the Sunday after Whitsun. But then it went on to say the Trinity, the three persons of the Christian Godhead, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, as constituting one God. So I then went to my Bible for the word Trinity. But surprise, surprise, it wasn't there. So lastly, I went to a history book and found this. Trinity Sunday has been kept since its inception by Thomas Becket, the martyred Archbishop of Canterbury, in the 12th century, on the Sunday after Pentecost. I'll be honest, I never knew that. Not until this week. I used to use an illustration to show children about Trinity. I used to use a boiling kettle, a glass of water, and some ice cubes. And I used to say to the children, you see the steam coming out of that boiling kettle? That shows the power of God, the God that created all things and holds everything in place. I said, you see this glass of water? Water gives life, as Jesus gives life to anybody who will accept him. And then I would show them the ice and say, what do you think ice is used for? Well, it's used for preserving food. All these people who tell you that they've got fresh fish, when you see it come ashore packed in that ice, it's not quite as fresh as they think, but it keeps it fresh. So the Holy Spirit is working in this world to keep us fresh, to keep Christians fresh and protect them from decay. It's there to protect the church today. I used to use that until one day I heard a man give a sermon on the Trinity. And he said, my illustration was very good, but he said it's only partly right. You see, steam can't be ice at the same time. Steam can't be water at the same time. Steam can't be ice at the same time. But you see, the Trinity, the Godhead, is the same all at the same time. But it's also different. It's also independent. Though the Bible doesn't use the word Trinity, it mentions it lots and lots of times. The reading we had from the Old Testament was taken from the first chapter of the first book, and there in the first verse of that chapter we read what? In the beginning God created. We have the power of God. We have him as a creative force in the first verse of the Bible. We also read in that verse, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. We've got the Holy Spirit in that first verse too. The Holy Spirit is often shown in the New Testament as a dove. Here the Holy Spirit is hovering like a bird that is hovering over its nest to protect its young. The Holy Spirit and God are there in the first verse. And that same picture of the Holy Spirit can be used today as it hovers over us, as it's protecting the church today and us as individuals. And in verse 26 we read this, let us make man in our likeness or image. There we have Christ. The Trinity is complete. It was there right at the beginning of the Bible. The Trinity was there. God knew it, and it was there for us. And again, in our New Testament reading from John 14, we again have the Trinity. Verse 10, we read, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? He was talking to Thomas. And in verse 17, we read, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. So there in that chapter, we have the Trinity. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, working there individually, but working as one. When you go home and you got a spare moment, look up the book of Exodus. And in verse 18 of that chapter, Moses asked God to show him his glory. Moses wanted to see God in all his glory. I'm sure we would all love that, wouldn't we? To see the power, the might in God himself, not just in what he's done and what he shows us. But in verse 21 and 22, God tells Moses to go and stand in the cleft of a rock. Why? Because as God passed by, if Moses saw him, Moses would die. So God put his hand over Moses' face as he passed by. So all Moses could do was hear him passing by, but he couldn't. And when God had passed by, he removed his hands from Moses so that Moses could see his backside. Moses could see the back of God, but nobody could stand and see the face of God. That's why nobody's seen him. We couldn't stand it. In the notes I was given for today, it gave a little illustration of a little girl drawing a picture. An adult came up and said, "What are you drawing?" She said, "I'm drawing God." So the adult, being very clever, says, "Nobody's ever seen God, so how can you draw him?" So the child thought very quickly and said, "Well, after I've finished my picture, they would have seen God." But it's not like that, is it? We're not going to see God. As evangelical Christians, and I'm guilty as this probably as much as anybody else, we tend to think of God as just a God of love, a nice, comfortable God. I've heard people pray to him as Daddy. They prayed to God as Daddy. We forget that it is he that created things. It is he that is all powerful. It is he that holds the universe in place. It is he that will judge in the last days. Yet in verse 7 to 11 of that chapter, we read this, that Moses pitched a tent outside the Israelite camp so that he could meet. Who meet with? To meet with the Lord. It was called the meeting place of Moses. In verse 11, as I used for my verse when we started, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. I can hear you thinking, "Hold on a minute, John. You've just contradicted yourself there. You've just said that no man can see God and live. And here you're saying that Moses met with the Lord face to face." He did, but not with the first part of the Trinity, the Godhead. He met with the Lord in that tent, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second part of the Trinity. He met with the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the difference? God is the God Almighty and all-powerful. God is the one who holds everything in place. Jesus is the one who, through his death on the cross, gave us life. When Jesus died on that cross, he died for everybody who's ever lived and ever will live. But it doesn't mean to say that everybody who has lived will accept Jesus. You've got to accept him personally for yourself. And in Exodus 35, we read that as the Israelites prepared to build the tabernacle, Bezalel was filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. and he was given skills and abilities and knowledge in all kinds of crafts needed to build the tabernacle. So the Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament, though we talk of him coming down at Pentecost for the church. He'd already been in the world before, but only to certain people. So there, in that chapter, or in that book, we've got the Trinity. We've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Is the Trinity that important? It wasn't until the 12th century that the church adopted it, or gave it a name. I say it is. The Trinity is the basis to our salvation. For these three persons in one, the Godhead, have combined to save us from our sins. In the will of the Father, it was the Father's will that man should come back to him. How did he do it? He sent his saving Son to work in this world, that people could be saved. And when we've been saved by the Lord Jesus, we're then protected. We're covered by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We do need the Trinity. The Trinity is a fact, though we can't see it. We can't prove it completely to man's satisfaction, but we know that the Trinity is there. The Trinity exists. We see it in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.